My name is Taylor Caswell. I am the Director of the Governor's Office for Emergency Relief and Recovery, and I will be facilitating today's meeting. The Gopher Legislative Board was created by Executive Order 2020-06. That order is publicly available on the Governor's website. Today's meeting is an official meeting of the Board. It is open to the public and will be run in a manner compliant with RSA 91A. As I mentioned, today's call is being recorded. And should you be a speaking participant and not wish to be recorded, you may disconnect now. The recording from today's meeting will be transcribed and posted on the Gopher webpage. Because the Board is meeting by phone under RSA 91A, there are a few initial logistics that we need to establish. First, each of us must state our names, where we are located, and who is with us in the room. So I'll start. My name is Taylor Caswell. I'm the director of Gopher. I'm here in the Gopher office in Concord with Lisa English, Nancy West, and Hillary Ryan. Senator Susie.
I am in
Speaker Shurtleff.
Steve Shurtleff, I am at home in Pennacook, and I am alone.
Senator Morris.
Chuck Morris, I'm in my office in Atkinson, and I am alone.
Senator Susie. See you there. Representative Hinch.
This is Dick Hinch. I'm in my office in Merrimack, and I am alone.
Senator D'Alessandro.
Lou D'Alessandro. I'm at home in Manchester, and I am by myself.
Representative Wallner.
This is Mary Jane Wallner. I'm at my house in Concord, and my husband's in another part of the house. Thank you.
Senator Reagan.
Senator Reagan, I'm in my office by myself.
Representative Hennessy.
Good morning. This is Erin Hennessy. I am at home in Littleton by myself.
And Senator Susie, are you there?
Yes, I am. This is Jonna Susie. I am at my home in Manchester, and I am alone.
Very good. So as we move through the agenda today, each board member and anyone else speaking is asked to identify themselves before speaking. Should you choose to take any votes today, they must be done by roll call following the process we just used. Finally, before we begin today's presentations, please remember to use 5-star if you would like to ask a question. In addition, presenters are asked to also hit 5-star at this point when their turn or when their turn comes up, as that allows us to unmute your line. Before we get into the agenda today, I just wanted to make one quick comment. As some of you may have heard, Deputy Director Joe Durian has been hired by the Department of Business and Economic Affairs and has, as of last Friday, transitioned over to that position. And our new Deputy Director, Lisa English, is assuming his spot here at Gopher, and we're very happy to have her, but I just wanted to reiterate that for everybody on the board this morning. So I think we have on our agenda today, first up, is getting back to the discussion on school funding. And I see that we have Dr. Carl Ladd, who is the Executive Director of the New Hampshire School Administrators Association, on the line with us today. Dr. Ladd, are you there?
Yes, good morning.
Well, great. I hope that you are willing to give us a couple of minutes from your standpoint on where the funding situation is for public schools, or any other comments that you'd like to make so we could facilitate some conversation of the board. So with that, I can hand it over to you.
Thank you very much, Director Caswell, and good morning. Good morning, members of the committee. Thank you all for the work that you're doing. It's definitely appreciated. We know how difficult this time is for everyone in trying to prioritize especially limited funding and limited resources. So we appreciate the time that you're taking to hear concerns from public education, and hopefully I can answer any questions that you may have. Just to start with, as a reminder, that about 65% of the districts in New Hampshire, and there are 276 school districts in New Hampshire, 65% of them received less than $100,000 in CARES Act funding, and 50% of them received less than $50,000. So for most of the districts in the state, the amount of CARES Act funding was significantly limited to begin with. One of the things that has made this a challenge in trying to figure out what is the in trying to figure out what is the I'm sorry, Director Caswell, but somebody needs to mute their phone because I can't concentrate.
I'm sorry. What are you hearing?
I'm hearing somebody you. Breathing in the background.
Okay. Very good. I just remind everybody that if you have your phone off mute, please be sure to mute your phone while Dr. Ladd is speaking. Thank you.
Thank you. I'm sorry about
that. Hopefully
that's
better. Sorry, Carl.
That's okay. That's not a problem. One of the things that's made it very difficult for districts to get a handle on their expenditures is that there was an anticipation all throughout the summer and the early fall that there were going to be FEMA funds available to them for the purchase of PPE, sanitizing stations, sanitizing equipment, those kinds of expenditures. And so most districts were holding on to their ESSER funds as a reserve to use in case there was another outbreak, in case there were additional expenses throughout the school year. Because the ESSER funds do not need to be expended through the federal government until September of 2021. So there was a lot of confusion about the FEMA funds. So now districts are pivoting, understanding that there are no FEMA funds available to them, and using their CARES Act allocations, again, which for the majority of districts were pretty small, to make their schools ready for not only ready to reopen and move in that direction, but also to stay open, because that has been now the main issue that districts are faced with if they are in hybrid or in face-to-face with increasing cases of COVID around the state, trying to make sure that they can stay open. So I know that you folks are looking for a district-by-district breakdown of expenses in excess of CARES Act money, and I have a list from about 25% of the districts in the state, and that total that I have been able to get on my own from those districts is about $17 million of expenses in excess of their CARES Act allocations that they are now having to take out of their regular budgets and trying to figure out how in the world they're going to be able to do that. And if you extrapolate even a portion of that, you're going to get pretty close to $70 million for the whole state. And that does not include any compensatory education for special education students, which is going to run districts millions of dollars, depending on what the needs are and what the IEP teams in the local districts determine are necessary expenditures for compensatory education. So I can give you the list of what I have for expenses. But just be aware that we're talking about everything from technology to cleaning supplies to software. water stations, floor markings, electrostatic sprayers, all kinds of dividers that are needed, transportation costs that are becoming astronomical for some districts in order to maintain social distancing, and the HVAC systems that need to be replaced or repaired in order to ensure that this, students are able to come in to the district to district schools safely. It's been an incredible steep climb for districts to get schools ready. And those costs are continuing on. And as I said, that does not even include the special education costs. So I'm, you know, I'm happy to try to answer questions for you. But the one thing that I would ask, and I know that I've asked you folks before, there needs to be some formal way of gathering this kind of data at the state level, and ensuring that, you know, that, that districts that have expended their funds have a mechanism for asking for additional funds, if that is even an option for them. I think a lot of I think a lot of superintendents and business administrators from around the state are a little frustrated that they don't really know where to go and what to do at this point, because they've expended their funds, they've allocated what they can through the grant, and they still have all of these unmet COVID-related expenses, which means that they're either going to be cutting programs or going into a deficit spending situation, which nobody wants.
Okay.
So that's really what I have, Director Caswell.
Okay, great. Thank you so much, Dr. Ladd. I really appreciate you coming in and giving us this background. It's very useful. I want to make sure that we give the committee an opportunity to ask any questions they might have. So, again, if you if you'd like to ask a question, just do a what is it, a five star, and we'll get you on. Senator Susie.
Thank you, Commissioner. Dr. Lett, the $70 million that you extrapolated out, is that inclusive of technology needs?
At this point,
or
yes.
Or was that just it is, okay.
It is, yes. The only thing that's really not included in this are the compensatory education costs for special education. These are okay. These are the technology-related expenses and the cleaning and health-related expenses around COVID. It's also additional staffing that folks have needed to hire in order to maintain social distancing. I know I spoke to the assistant superintendent in Rochester this morning, and she indicated that they, because they were unable to fill teaching positions in order to maintain social distancing, they had to take reading, math, interventionists, specialists who work with students most at risk, and put them into the regular classroom in order to meet the social distancing needs. Therefore, those types of interventions are not available for the students. So that's an unintended consequence. And it's an additional cost that at some point is going to have to be borne.
Thank you.
Okay. Thanks, Senator. Senator D'Alessandro. You're unmuted on this side, so if your phone, just make sure your phone's unmuted. Maybe while we wait, is there anyone else that has any questions for Dr. Lack?
Hello?
Senator.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on here. As listen, this telephonics is problematic. A couple of things I think that have to be brought forward. Number one, when FEMA sent out that notice to all of the districts that they would not be reimbursed, that created chaos amongst the school districts, I think. That's number one. There's a situation where they thought they were going to be reimbursed. That's totally disappeared. I asked the districts that I represent to start compiling costs related to the COVID situation and to prepare those costs. And I've got those from the Goffstown district and from the Manchester districts. They are extremely high. I forwarded those to Senator Morse this morning. So indeed, if we're going to come up with a number for the districts, how are we going to apportion to the districts dollars to compensate for the cost that they have incurred that they thought would have been covered by that FEMA situation? I think there's a there's a fundamental problem there in that they were looking at these costs and they were spending based on the fact that they would be receiving reimbursement. Could you address that, please?
Senator, this is Taylor. I would ask maybe, I know we have a couple of other people waiting to ask a question, but with respect to your specific question, I'm going to ask Lisa English here to give you a bit of an update on that FEMA situation, particularly and where the guidance is leading us on this specific issue, and I think that might help the conversation. So, Lisa?
Thank you, Commissioner. So, Senator, we are aware of that September 11th FEMA guidance saying it would no longer cover reimbursement for things like face masks for teachers, staff, and students. Just before that, Treasury also issued an additional FAQ. One of the challenges, as you can imagine, here in Gopher is finding ways to get money out quickly, and that can be really challenging when you're talking about an individualized process. There are approximately 175,000 public school students in the state. This new FAQ, FAQ number 53, allows states to provide a per-student payment where there doesn't have to be that same level of documentation for reimbursement. And this is the only place where this kind of payment is allowed. So the Treasury will presume expenses on a per-student basis up to, I believe it's $500, such that schools do not need to document the specific use of those funds. So while that dollar amount is obviously pretty high and probably designed for things like more places like New York City and California, that approach is something that we certainly have been looking at since that September 11th FEMA guidance came out.
So this is a little update. I hope that helps some of the thinking there, Senator. I'm sorry, I may have interrupted Dr. Ladd. Do you have any comments on that, Dr. Ladd?
Just to say that I do agree with Senator D'Alessandro that school districts have really had to scramble after the FEMA announcement came out, and they're continuing to try to readjust based on what the guidance that they've understood has been.
Right. Good. Well, I hope that that's given us a little bit of enlightened a little bit of what the situation is. So thank you, Lisa. Going back to the questions here, I've got Speaker Shurtleff. You're next up.
Thank you. Dr. Ladd, thank you for being with us this morning. We greatly appreciate it. My question, I guess, is two-part, actually. The first part is you came up with a number of $17 million from a small number of school districts. Would the Department of Education have a better understanding of what the districts are looking for all the school districts in the state? Is this something they compile?
To my knowledge, the Department of Education is not requesting this information, nor are they compiling it.
Okay, thank you. And the other question I had, I know some communities had problems because they were tax cap communities, such as Manchester, and the reimbursement through CARES, that would not impact those towns that would, in the past, have had to turn back money because of the tax cap?
It would not affect that, no. No, sir.
Okay. Well, thank you very much, and thanks again for being here.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Speaker. I've got Representative Walner is next up.
Thank you, and thank you, Mr. Ladd, for being here with us. You did speak about the gathering of information from school districts. I would assume that you would have that done by the Department of Education. Is that correct? Is that how would you propose that kind of information be gathered at this point?
I think that's a great question, Representative Walner. I think that it should be done through the Department of Education or through this committee. However that system works, but I do think that this is information that needs to be gathered in one place, and the state should be compiling this information and seeking out districts and trying to work with them to determine what these costs are and provide some kind of a database for folks such as yourselves to take a look at and see where the needs are and where are the unmet needs of the districts around the state.
Thank you very much. Could I have a follow-up question?
By all means.
Director Ladd, I was wondering what do you think about the idea of the formula? Since we don't, the Department of Education has not compiled this kind of information. They've not been gathering it. It sounds like you have been able to gather some of it. But what do you think about some sort of a formula, as Attorney English just outlined, that FEMA would allow some sort of a formula that each school would get according to the number of students? Do you think that would end up working out to be a fair way of distributing funds?
I think that that's the distribution of funds, as you know, in our state is always the trickiest question to try to answer because there are so many factors involved. When I look through at some of the districts who have the highest level of need or the discrepancy between what their CARES Act allocation was and what their expenditures are, you know, I'm looking at Rochester for $1.4 million, White Mountain Regional School District in the North Country, $650,000, Plainfield, $548,000, Plymouth, $232,000. So, and SAU 58, which again is in the North Country, that's Northumberland, Stark, and Stratford, that's $310,000. If you just went by a per pupil distribution, those districts would not necessarily get enough money to really help meet this unmet need. So I'm not exactly sure how you would do that, other than based on what the actual expenses are from the districts. But the reality is, just a per pupil is certainly not going to help Manchester recoup $6 million in losses.
Thank you for that.
For nothing.
I was just, yeah, great. Thank you.
Are there any other questions from members of the committee or the task board, advisory board? Okay. Well, if not, thank you, Dr. Ladd, again, for joining us today. It's been very helpful, I think. I think we want to maybe have a little bit of discussion, perhaps. I don't know, Senator Morse, do you have any thoughts on what we might do at this point?
Well, when I called in to COFA yesterday, I thought collecting the data on what the districts thought their FEMA, you know, what they would have applied for in FEMA would be a good start throughout the whole state. So if there's any way of doing that, I think that would be the best way to get started. Having said that, when you get all that information, you know, and I did read the one Lou sent to me this morning, it wasn't $6 million or $5 million, whatever was just said, it was $11 million. I think you have to take a look at what's in these documents that we could head towards talking about at our committee, and then go from there. But how we get to the point that we could collect what they were going to apply for in FEMA is probably what we could solve this morning.
All right. We could do that. Is there any discussion on this? Any other discussion on this at this point? I think what I'm hearing is like a little bit more information, but I, you know, as Lisa pointed out, you know, we are looking at the potential for using some sort of a per student formula that I think avoids some of the documentation issues that might be necessary and could be worth considering from that standpoint. I see Senator D'Alessandro has his hand raised.
Yeah.
Senator?
Thank you. I think Chuck makes it a good point. It seems to me that when all of these districts were told that FEMA would be reimbursing, they must have kept fairly accurate records in terms of what they would be asking for reimbursement. So that should be a starting point, and you'd have it. You would be able to aggregate that and get at least a fixation on the amount of money that was being asked for. Then you could look at how you could distribute money based on a unit disbursement based on the number of students. But I think getting a handle on what that aggregate number would have been had FEMA been in the game and had been reimbursing, that seems to be the best starting point, because every district had to be accumulating data as to what they were going to ask for, and that must be available through DOE, and I think that's a great starting point. At that point, as I said, you have an aggregate number. Then the decision has to be made: how do you distribute money? Is it on a unit basis, or some other methodology that's developed, but you got to start someplace. So I think the place to start is what would have been the ask had the FEMA situation been in place.
Okay, thanks, Senator. I have Representative Wallner.
Thank you. Had FEMA started gathering that information from the school districts? Had that already been done by FEMA?
We don't know the answer to that question here.
Do you think it's possible that we could get the answer to that question so that we would know whether or not, you know, it takes a long time to gather all this data, and
yeah.
I think school districts really need the funding fairly quickly. So setting up a process for getting the data, if FEMA's already got it, I think it would be really helpful to find that out if they've got that data already.
Well, we could certainly check with Homeland Security. They really are the ones that deal with all the FEMA funding, and whether there had been, you know, and to what degree that information is currently available. We could certainly do that.
Thank you. That would be helpful, I think.
Very good. Okay, I see Senator Morris has his hand raised.
Well, that's exactly where I was headed. That's the question I called in yesterday and said, is somebody doing that already? In talking to Salem, the answer they gave me was no. That hasn't been asked for. They certainly have a document. Here's where I think I don't want to make a mountain out of a molehill. And it will happen if this doesn't happen quickly. I would think that whether it's the same organization that works with FEMA in New Hampshire today or it's the Department of Education, asks for this number, it could be asked for today and obtained by tomorrow. Otherwise, more and more is going to get put into these documents. And that we're looking for what was established already. And I would think if we make that request somewhere, and I'm not sure where that is, that's what I was trying to figure out if anybody was doing it, and I don't think they are, that we do. We come up with a way to make that request today. Look, if only 50% of the school systems reply to us, it will still give us what we need. And I think to Taylor's point of view, it may lead to what we could do per person once we start to analyze these documents. But we're not going to get 100%. And in the cases where they're already prepared for doing this request, it's ready. I'm sure of it because they anticipated doing it and they wouldn't want to miss a window. So I would think there's a way to ask for it and get it in a fashion that isn't like we want, you know, next week or December 1st. I mean, I would think we'd get it today. And I think that's what we probably should ask for. And then how we ask for that, I'm not sure, Taylor. So that's what I'd like help with.
Okay, yeah, that's fine. And our team is already on the horn trying to seek out that information. So to the extent that it exists, and that'll, I think, inform where we go from here. Is there anyone else that wants to be heard on this subject? Representative Hinch has his hand raised.
Yes, thank you, Taylor. I guess the other comment that I have is that I hope that now that the school districts know that these funds are not reimbursable from FEMA, that the amount of expenditure is not still growing, because we could establish a number and then all of a sudden find out that people, when I say people, I mean school districts, are still spending on what is not considered to be a reimbursable expense, if that makes sense.
Yep, thank you. Senator Morris has his hand raised.
Yeah, I just, Dick, that's exactly why I think we asked for it today, with the deadline as something for tomorrow. Whatever comes in, I think will be good information. And from there, I heard it earlier in the call. Look, we've had different ways of funding education in this state forever. I mean, I think if we got the documents that are already prepared, it's not something that we want people adding to right now because they're ready for this. Then we take a look at it and we give a recommendation to the governor's office, you know, based on that. So I don't want to complicate this more than it is. These people probably need help, and they're not going to get more than that kind of help because I'm sure we don't have enough money for what they're going to ask for.
Well, Senator, we'll we'll continue to track down the information that is currently available and get back to you as soon as we have it. Hopefully that will be some point today, at least an indication as to where we stand. And then we can sort of chart a path forward from that. That works. Okay. I see Representative Waller, real quickly before we go over. Go right ahead.
Yes, thank you. I would just like to hope that we will be back, our Gopher group here will be back by the end of the week to make a decision. I mean, I think that we should gather as much information as we can, try to figure out from what we gather what kind of funding the schools do need, and then be back here no later than Friday to make a decision about a recommendation to the governor.
That's fine with us here. I think if, as long as it's good with everybody else, which I'm going to guess that it is, given the importance of this issue, we will find a time, hopefully towards the end of the week, and get that around to everybody here very shortly. All right. If there's any other discussion on that subject, the other item that we have on our agenda today is to come back to the Massoma Health Center discussion. And I don't know, Senator Morris or Senator D'Alessandro, if you'd like to help us walk through that, what the update is there.
Well, first of all, I think you could, if it's public knowledge, I think you could announce a piece that we didn't know about until this morning. I didn't. I just want people to understand progress is being made. But if you could do that, Taylor.
Sure. I mean, I think what you're referring to, Senator, is that yesterday we were able to notify a couple of health centers, including Massoma, that the $100,000 loan that was made to them very early in this process and a number of other health institutions has been approved to be converted to a grant. So that should remove a good deal of the debt load that they had, at least on their books, through this process. I might also add also since we last met, the federal HHS announced their third round of the Provider Relief Fund, which I can't speak to the eligibilities of that specifically, but it would certainly be something that I think should be also considered as part of this conversation. That total allocation for the round is, I believe, $20 billion. The B, so that should be something that they could be looking at as well. I know that in terms of timing that round closes on November 6th and that it's currently open. So those are, I think, are key things, maybe, Senator, that are relevant to the conversation and hopefully helpful.
Taylor.
Yeah.
Taylor.
Senator.
Yeah. The $100,000 loan, is that the CDFA loan?
No, this is, if you recall, very early.
Yes,
pre-go.
Yes.
Yeah, it's from that fund. So.
Okay, so the CDFA loan is still in place, and the repayment schedule is still in place, correct?
I can't speak to CDFA's terms specifically, but the loan that I'm referring to is the one that is under the control of Gopher. So
okay.
That's,
okay. Good.
Sure.
Just wanted to make that clear that the CDFA loan is still in place.
Yeah.
And okay. Great. Thank you very much, and thanks for that information. That was very helpful. I didn't get that. I got that from Senator Morse this morning, so I thank him and thank you for that information. That helps. It certainly helps as far as
Right,
they're concerned. Right. But moving ahead, the question is, and I got your email yesterday, is we from the Gopher, we have to ask funds for the months of October, November, and December. And I think Senator Morse was working with HHS for what would happen in January for the next 10 months. And I don't know how far we've gotten with that, but they need sustainability from now until the end of the year, and then money going forward so they can get themselves, you know, reestablished from a financial standpoint. They can move ahead with their fundraising and move ahead with the services that they've provided, which have been curtailed to some extent because of the virus. And the dental situation, which is the best revenue producer, has been significantly, you know, downplayed because people won't go. So those are the immediate situations that I think have to be dealt with. And Chuck, you were working on those things. You asked me to work on part of it. I've given you my the results of my work, and I think we've got to make a move with regard to this situation and do it fairly quickly.
Yep. Go ahead, Senator Morse. Your hand's raised.
Yep. I just want to make clear what I asked HHS for was money per month starting now, not in January. And the basically what I thought would be a sustainable situation based on our meetings we've had is for the next 10 months, find income for them per month for that 10-month period. This $100,000, I think we have to see where that fits into what was due when it was due. And then on top of that, there may be a gap that needs to be funded by us. I don't believe it's anywhere near $180,000 right now. Because if we could get the monthly stipend and we could, you've already done it. You wrote off the $100,000. I think the number probably is a lot smaller now that they probably need from us. The commissioner, I don't believe, is going to have that answer within a day or two, but she's on it. She understands it. She's on it. Her comments, Lou, were exactly like what you and I asked on sustainability, you know, if we make this move and how we get to the next point, which I explained, them teaming up with someone else is probably the best thing that could happen to them. So I think the fact that the department's involved in it, they're probably going to help take the lead on that. To Mary Jane's point 5 minutes ago, what I was going to ask for was to, at this point, let us recess to the call of the chair. I have spoke with the Senate President this morning and with Lou. Yes, it was my intention to come back this week if we could get solutions to both situations. If we could just get solution to one of them, I would come back for that. But I would think that's what we should do. I don't think we're ready to make either appropriation today. I just think the public needs to know we are probably making an appropriation in both cases.
And Chuck, what are you suggesting that we reconvene?
I'm sorry, my hand bullet thing while you were speaking.
Okay. When are you suggesting that we reconvene to address both of these subjects?
Well, when I spoke with the Senate President, I thought we could do it by the end of the week. I think the problem is I need to, whatever it is, working with you guys, I need to come back with something that we can vote on.
Sure.
I think we all understand in both cases we need to make appropriations. Having something that ties to a very logical position for the eight of us to say yes to, and I think that's important. That's where we need to get to. I did mention to the Senate President, someone else could grab on to the education side of this. I thought Senator D'Alessandro and I could finish up at SCOMA. And that's assuming we can get some kind of documentation in. Here's the point. If you got in all these FEMA documents, and Manchester's at $11 million, Salem's at a half a million, you know, don't know what Bedford National and all them are at. Is there any relationship to a per student thing? Is there a relationship to wealth? You know, I think it's easy enough to figure out real quick. And then come back with a recommendation. Just like you heard Dr. Ladd say, he extrapolated to $70 million. And, you know, I don't know why he did that, but I'm sure there's a logical reason how he got there. I think you could do the same thing, but I think you just need data to be able to get there. Sure, some people probably spend more and some people probably spend less. You know, so there'll be a little pain, but there's pain today, and if we don't make an appropriation, you know, I think we probably need to make an appropriation. So, yes, I intend to bring you back before the end of the week, but that's only if one group can finish their thing and the other group can at least come back with something that we can debate.
Very good. Thank you, Senator. I have Representative Wallner.
And thank you, Senator Morris, for wanting to bring us back this week to make some decisions about this. The one thing I'd like to request is, as the if we can get some information on the school districts, which I certainly hope we can do in a timely manner here, could that be provided to the committee as we go along, so that, or at least before we meet, so that we can have that data available to us, you know, to help us in our decision making?
Well, absolutely, Representative. As soon as we can get something that I think really would be helpful in that regard, you know, all the districts that we can get, we would get that around to you with plenty of notice before the meeting for exactly that purpose.
Thank you, Mr. Kessel. I appreciate that.
Very good. Yeah,
Taylor,
Taylor, go ahead, you don't have Esther's proposal.
I wouldn't think it needs to be a bigger document than what Manchester. They've put every doc. I would think if you're going to start sending around to us, you know, 75 school districts, I don't think it needs to be any bigger than what they did. It's pretty clean. You can see where they invested their money. Some of it I don't think could be funded by us, but I think it gives us a clear position. So,
yeah.
If you don't have it, Dallas Sandro has it. So.
I will forward it. I will forward the Manchester proposal to everybody on the committee. I'll send it to you, Taylor, and you can forward it to members of the committee. How's that?
That works just fine, Senator.
Okay, I'll do that ASAP.
Very good. Okay, yes, and to your point, Senator Morris, we won't paper you any more necessarily than we need to. Senator Susie.
I just don't want to repeat what others said. I just think it's imperative that we try to meet by the end of this week. I do think there's a lot of concern on the part of school districts right now, and we need to allay those fears that there will be some dollars forthcoming for something, particularly that they planned for as part of their reopening plan. They considered having reimbursement for FEMA. So we don't want more school districts to have to do an about face. I think we need to come up with something and do it as soon as we can, hopefully by the end of this week.
Right.
Very good. Thank you, Senator. Senator Morris has his hand raised.
Yeah, and one thing, the reason I thought getting a document that was being applied for FEMA, there's one thing that we could do that would be very logical if that document were. You know, we've always had this debate at the State House about the 75-25. You know, 12.5% from the communities, 12.5% from the state. there may be some logic about that 25% of what they're applying for, because, you know, God willing, somebody figures out that FEMA should be working with it. So instead of messing up the whole process, there may be some logic to that 25% number. Just a thought. So that's why I'd like to see these documents.
All right. Any other discussion on this point? Okay, if not, I think that is the end of our written agenda. Where we are, I think, right now is Senator Morse. You want to basically stick with a recess and the call of the chair, and that we would aim to have a meeting scheduled towards the end of the week to return to both of these issues.
I think I've talked to enough people that I've called this morning. If we recess for the call of the chair, they know what I'm trying to accomplish.
Okay. Well, if there's no discussion on that point, we'll just go with that, and we will be in touch with everybody shortly with any information that we're able to have prior to the meeting with regard to the FEMA submissions on school districts, as well as, obviously, time and date for the meeting. So keep those email inboxes open, as I know you do. Is there any other discussion on this? Otherwise, I think that'll probably be the end of today.
All right. Thank you very much.
Okay. Thank you, Chuck. And we'll look forward to a meeting before the end of the week so we can get this done.
Okay. Well, with that, thank you, everyone. Have a great rest of the day.
Thank you, Commissioner.
Thank you, everybody.